I guess it's now time for the afterburn. So I'm going to ask you to keep your questions to the subject, keep them short and to the point. And I'm not Rabbi Steve, so if I can't answer something, I will let you know. Or if I don't want to answer it, I'll let you know that too. I'll defer the question to Rabbi when he returns. And he's watching now, so he'll hear your questions. So, who's going to be first? We got a long line. That scares me. But it doesn't worry me. Okay. First up is Miss Shira.
I tried to get all these ladies to go in front of me, but I guess I have to be first. I'm shy.
The leader says, let's go. You follow.
All right. Okay. I just love this message. Thank you, Rabbi Tom. I know you give all the glory to Yahweh. And I just want to share a testimony about audible prayer. I had to start with Hebraic prayers out of the Siddur.
Yeah.
And then...
Nothing wrong with that.
It was beautiful. Yeah. And then a couple years ago, I got the idea to write my own Siddur prayers. And so I borrowed some from the Siddur, but also put some of my own in. For instance, in the morning, I would thank him for opening the gates of dawn and praise him for the grace to perform the tasks and assignments of that day with diligence and to guard my hands from vain and fruitless activities, which distraction has been a big problem. And it's amazing how actually saying that out loud has influenced some of my little decisions during the day about how I spend my time. And so I just love that we can review when we're hearing ourselves speak the prayers out loud. I know for me, it gives me a sense of how appropriate is this request. Maybe I need to add to it or amend it a little bit. Maybe I can catch myself with a little me going on and perfect it a little bit. And then later, when the response might come and there might be something really praiseworthy that happens, I can recall, I specifically asked you exactly that, and that's exactly what you did. And it just increases the joy of that. If I may, I'd just like to ask you, could you comment on the Spirit praying for us with groanings that cannot be uttered? Do you have any comments on that, Rabbi Tom?
Well, a lot of people misinterpret this verse. You get into the charismatic speaking in tongues thing. That's not what it's about. Sometime when we don't know what to pray for or don't know how to address our prayers, we should just sit quietly. And I've gone, oh. Maybe that's the Spirit groaning and uttering. I throw up my hands. I don't know what to say. And I've had some situations recently in my own family. I don't know really what to pray for. So I just say, I'm putting them in your hands. But I've got verbally exasperated, you know, and maybe Evans and Joanne can attest to that. I go, oh. Thinking about a situation that needs prayer. And we don't always know exactly what to ask for in a situation, but Yahweh knows what we need. So as far as groaning is not a rings, let's not get carried away with that.
Thank you.
But by the way, many of the prayers in the Siddur are from Psalms. And the Psalms, if you don't know what to pray for, there's a Psalm for almost everything. So our reading schedule doesn't have Psalms and Proverbs, but it's a good idea to get on a regular reading schedule for Psalms and Proverbs. You can read them right through, or you can pick out the last 8 or 10 Psalms are Psalms of praise. And there's Psalms asking Yahweh for help or for mercy. And there's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. It's only 31 Proverbs. We can read one a day and get through them in a month. Unless it's a 30-day month, and you can read two a couple of days. Three or four a day in February.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you.
So, thank you. All right. Sandra, go ahead.
Shalom. I appreciate your knowledge. Thank you for sharing with us today. A couple of questions. You talked about praying audibly. So historically, I have never done that, always thinking that HaSatan was listening, and I don't want him privy to my prayers or
giving him a plan of attack. He needs to hear you pray.
Seriously?
Sure.
Okay, I might have to work on that a little bit because it doesn't feel right.
Wow, you're going by feelings.
I am.
A feelings bag.
Well played.
Feeling bag.
I'll practice.
Okay.
Practice. I have another one if it's okay. I actually have a couple.
That's the key word, practice, consistency. And there's nothing wrong with praying out loud. And this thing that, well, if I pray out loud, the devil will hear. Listen, the devil knows what you're going to pray for. He's not some dumb guy.
No, but I was told that he doesn't know our thoughts.
Well, he knows human nature very well. Let's put it that way. He knows human nature, and he can read us like a book, and that's why he's so subtle and so cunning.
So then it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you know, when you pray out loud, I don't think that you know there's a belief, and I believe it, that HaSatan cannot stand wind instruments. He cannot stand the sound of the shofar. Whether you believe that or not is one thing. I believe it. That's why we sound the shofar. It's not just some kind of talisman just to scare the devil away or anything like that. But along with the sound of the shofar, let him hear the sound of your voice. You know, let your voice be the sound that separates me from the rest of the world. That's what prayer does.
Okay, thank you. I have another question, if it's okay.
Sure.
You talked about not having vain repetition. And when we pray the Siddur, that is repetitive, but that doesn't fall into that category, correct?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so what if I have a habit of, you know, on Thursdays is my thankful day. I make sure that I cover everything thankful that I didn't cover this week. On Fridays, that's my forgiveness day. I make sure I go through everything I've done rotten during the week to ask the Father to forgive me for the things that I've done that were wrong.
Well, if it was me, I'd have to have about 10 Fridays in a week.
Is that considered vain repetition?
No. We have to realize that prayers in the Siddur are perfectly fine, but real prayer comes from the heart and the mind. See? And you can ask for something several times, but if you ask over and over and over and over and you're not getting it, you might say, hey, I'm not getting the message. But again, I gave an extreme example of vain repetitions. Like when Catholics pray their rosary or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary.
And so part of it's the heart behind it?
Yeah. So, prayer has to come from the heart and the mind. Okay.
And my final question.
Okay.
You said to pray three times a day. So if I don't have, let's say I'm at a job and I don't have a place where I can go and pray, then I just can bring my prayer shawl and sit quietly with my prayer shawl on and pray wherever I'm at?
Oh, you can. Oh, sure, you can pray wherever. You don't even need a prayer shawl. Prayer shawl is good, but you can pray on your way to work in the car as long as you pay attention to your driving. Your morning prayer can be when you get out of bed in the morning, when your feet hit the floor. Mm-hmm. And then if you're working a daytime job, you certainly have a lunch hour or a lunch half hour, whatever you have. So you can use part of that just to, I don't think you'd want to pray out loud in front of a bunch of people, but you can just simply talk to Yahweh in your mind. Thank him for your job. Thank him for the food that you're going to eat. Thank him for the day. Ask him to give you strength to get through the day. Ask him for anything that comes to mind. Then when you get home from work, and before you go to bed, so actually really four times a day. Yeah. But the short prayers, you know, thank you, Father, for this little thermos full of lemonade. Quenches my thirst. Simple things we take for granted. Thank you. Thank you for a new pen that I can write my notes with, because my old one ran out of ink. Ah, I know. I bought that pen with my own money, but still, Yahweh gave me the opportunity to have the money to buy it with. We thank you for the, you know, there's a lot of things wrong with this country that we live in. But it's still the best place in the world to live, and we should be thankful that we live in a country where we can come every day before Almighty Yahweh. We can come here. We can come here every week unhindered. There's no restrictions on our worship. That we have that freedom of religion is what it's called. We have to be thankful for that. We have a lot of freedoms in this country that other countries don't have. So again, we have to be thankful for it. Some of our brethren in Germany were telling me that when their children get of school age, that they won't be allowed to take them out of school to bring them to the feast here. It's against the law. So, you see, we don't have that crazy rules like that over here. When my children were in public school, I simply notified the school officials, hey, we're going to be gone. We're going to Sukkot. What's that? Feast of Tabernacles, commanded convocation. They'll take their homework with them, and they'll do whatever homework assignments the teacher gives them while they're at the feast, and then when we come back, they'll return to school. But in all countries of the world, it's not that way. In Germany, from what I've been led to understand, it's not that way. If you take your kids out of school, you're violating the law. So we have a lot to be thankful. Okay, Ashley.
I have two questions, one pertaining to my walk, but one for clarifying. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. The first question is, I noticed this, I like the canned and preserved food and stuff like that. Just, it keeps me grounded. And I've noticed I tend to, for lack of better words, talk to the Father. And I wanted to know, why is it easier to pray in situations like that where other days I'm just, when I'm not canning or preserving or thanking him, because that's what I'm doing when I'm preserving, I'm thanking him for the food. Thank you for allowing me to do this. Thank you for giving me the abundance, stuff like that. But I'm just so busy all the other days, I don't have my mind on him. Why is that an issue when I forget to, or why is it so easy for me to pray then, and then all the other times it's like he's for naught?
Well,
if that makes any sense.
You say, you find it easiest to pray when do you find it easiest to pray?
Like when I'm preserving food, like I love the canned food or dehydrated food, stuff like that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Why do I?
Because when you're not doing something, your mind gets easily distracted.
Okay.
And that's where discipline comes in. I know sometimes when I say the Shema, my mind wanders and I think of something and I go, oh, get back on course. So this is perfectly normal, perfectly natural.
Okay.
But The only thing I can tell you is keep canning food.
That's what I thought.
You can all you want. Can 24/7.
Tell them your advice,
not,
please.
Not 24/6. You don't want to can on the Shabbat.
Well, no, I wouldn't do that. But, no, it's just I find, I don't know, it's weird. Like, even when I wasn't in this walk, I would find calm and comfort and just, like, I didn't know it was him then. But I would feel like a pull to something greater and just go, just keep doing what you're doing. I don't know if it's my womanly role or what have you, but it's just, that's where I need to be, I found. My second question is, and forgive me if this is an odd question, but I've never heard this story, or I don't understand it. If Yeshua is God, why did he pray to be taken away? Why didn't why didn't he know the answer? He should know the answer. And if he is God, why didn't he just take himself away, if that makes any sense?
He was divine and human. It's human nature. He was showing his human nature.
But I thought he was God. Or is
he is. Did you listen to Do You Know the Father and the Son?
I tried.
Listen to it again. Do You Know the Father and the Son? Yeshua was the preexistent as the Yahweh of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And he communicated with people. But yet the scripture says no one has seen Yahweh or heard his voice. But we read throughout the Tanakh where Yahweh communicated with people. That was not the Father, that was the Son. And when he put on a flesh suit, it says he has feelings and trials and temptations the same as we do. He was tried every way. There's nothing new to him that or unique that we haven't experienced.
Was that by choice or is that?
No, it's just the way it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I don't understand at all. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know what more I could do to explain it, except that as a human being, Yeshua had human feelings, and he was he had to respond to them.
Okay.
Appropriately, but that doesn't take away from his divinity. Because he knew who he was. So he had to cope with his feelings to show us that we can cope with ours. Okay.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So if he's, okay, I'm going to probably have to talk to you more about this later because I don't want to think of all the time, but I'm still having a hard time with it. And I want to actually understand it because I know that's, from what I understand, that's the biggest part of the Brit Hadashah, am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I want to learn that later from you if that's okay with you.
All right, now you did mention something else that you prayed even before you were in the walk. That kind of jogged my memory.
Well, I didn't pray daily. We did spells.
Well,
and stuff.
That's all right. When I was a young boy, I prayed a prayer I wouldn't share with anyone. I said, "Dear God, show me the true religion." Because I just had the gut feeling that there was something more to be had. Now, at that time, I'd have no qualms about eating a pork chop. I was just a little kid. My grandmother put a pork chop on the plate, I'd eat it. Saturday was the day to have a good time, go hunting, go fishing, things I didn't know from Torah. And yet, Yahweh heard that prayer, and he answered it. He took me a roundabout way, and when he said, "You've gone around this mountain long enough," I kept going around the mountain for a while. But eventually I got here. See? So Yahweh answers the prayer of even people who do not believe at this time the way they should. If it's a sincere prayer. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So I am really blessed by this teaching. I want to thank you for this. It was such an anointed teaching. Rabbi Steve has picked the right people for the leadership. So thank you so much. Mm. Hallelujah. Yeah. I wanted to just, I just wanted to mention how I appreciate you talking about the lifeline that prayer is. And when I was a Christian, I used to be very much into prayer. And when I first started in Messianic, I used to be very much into prayer with the Siddur. And then what I had found was that I think I had vain repetitions because I was expecting, I mean, I liked the prayers. I wanted what I was praying, like, you know, they were sincere. However, my heart condition was not really changing from the prayers. And so I kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater and was like, this is for naught. Like, why am I doing this three times a day? Because I was doing the Siddur prayers three times a day. And then, you know, right after that, running into sin. And so I think that I kind of just let it go. And so I appreciate you talking about how it's a lifeline. And the first time when you said it, I didn't really think about it. I mean, it kind of popped in my head. It kind of like spoke to me, but then I didn't really write it down. And then when you were saying some other things about, you were talking about drowning and how if you don't hold on to your lifeline, you're going to drown.
Yeah.
And so what I realized is that even though I'm making good strides and good progress in some things, that I have this chaos in my life. And I'm drowning. And because I'm doing some good things and having good habits, and I know that book, Atomic Habits, I've listened to it many times. I have some really good habits, but that's not one of them. The consistent prayer, the time, the setting the times. So, you know, I just want to thank you because the Father in your teaching was showing me when you were talking about vain repetitions, I have some vain repetition prayers.
We all have.
Yeah, and then I realized, so then I wrote down, stop asking for that. But then I realized, why would he give me this thing that I'm asking for when I'm not even spending time with him? My most important relationship.
Sure.
I'm taking it for granted.
I think when you said you were doing a lot of prayers from the Siddur and all that, and we can also read the Psalms, that's the mechanics. And the mechanics are good. We have to do the mechanics. But the real heart of the matter is prayer from the heart. And that's what separates us from the mechanics. It's called kavanah, intention. So what is our intention when we pray? How sincere are we? So there's nothing wrong with what you were doing except that you were ignoring the spiritual aspect. They both go hand in hand. I hope that helps you.
Yeah, I appreciate that because that is a habit that I can add to my list. The most important habit, talking to the Father consistently. Because I do talk, you know, when there's a trial, you know, and he gets my attention with the trials and everything, but it's definitely not a consistent habit. So I appreciate that because, you know, we need all of these things. So sure. Thank you so much, Rabbi Tom.
Thank you. And consistency is the key. Consistency and not vain repetition, but just repetition of a habit. Miss Brianna.
Thank you for this teaching. So I think I'm just going to make a couple of comments real fast. I think prayer is one of the things I probably struggle the most with because one of the first points you made about if you are bitter and hateful, you have conflict within yourself. And then you went to the part about treasuring the word. And even though that can be a very important part of your life, the lack in prayer is like going to throw everything off.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of the times when it comes to prayer, for me, a big issue, maybe some other people can relate, is when you voice prayer, it's a very humbling experience.
Yes, it is.
Because you have to not only admit to yourself that there's an issue, or maybe you're just trying to, you have to praise about something that's not so great, but you have to come before him and also admit it. And that's sometimes a little bit hard to do. So I think we all need to, and me included, need to be less prideful, because I think pride gets in the way of prayer. And
yes,
so
it does. I just, right.
To be able to be like him, you have to put that down.
Yeah, pride is one of the works of the flesh, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it comes, it's just in the verse in Galatians, above the fruits of the Spirit. So, yeah, pride can get in our way. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I just wanted to note on
that's great. Thank you. Appreciate that. Miss Maisie.
I thank you for this teaching. Mm. It brought some revelation to me that throughout my life, I've been alone a lot. Like, I have plenty of time to pray. But I don't do Siddur. I talk to him as if he is my best friend, because he is.
Yeah.
I've always talked to him that way, even before I came to this truth. So it just reaffirms for me that when I'm at home and I'm by myself, I'm not by myself, because he's with me.
That's right.
And I want him to know that I recognize he's with me. He's there for me. He's going to help me throughout the day as long as I open up my mouth and talk to him. Say what's on my mind. Say what's on my heart. Let him hear and know that my heart is with him as well as his heart being with me. So thank you again for this teaching. And thank you, Rabbi Steve, for this awesome ministry and leadership you have established through the Father's love and compassion for his people. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. And there's something we said for isolation. It's not good to isolate ourselves all the time. But there are times when we just have to get out of the room we're in and go to another room, shut the door, so that we can pray, we can concentrate on prayer. I think that's important. Before Joanne and I were married, I lived on Blue Mountain in Pennsylvania. And the only way in and out of my place was the AT&T access trail. There's a rough trail going up the mountain. I live kind of remote. And I was alone. And I had plenty, even though I worked two jobs, I still had plenty of time for prayer. Because I didn't have any other distractions. So it's good once in a while. If you live alone, that can be a good thing. And if you live with a whole family full of children, that can be a good thing too. Just take time to isolate yourself once in a while and go to prayer. Okay, Miss Hester.
Amen. Thank you for the teaching again. And with what Marlene was saying, it just reminded me of like how and why I'm here, and that you were saying that the Father doesn't always answer your prayers, like in the quietness and
response.
The response. And I don't think I've ever heard a response from him, but I see him on like all over it. And I mean, I'm here. I would pray in the Navy when I remember just going through a lot of stuff. And I remember the isolation of separation from myself, and then to go into a quiet place. And I would have a place there in the ship. And I would, at that time, I was praying to like the J-man. So I get that, like you were talking about how he still hears you, even though you were not praying correctly. My intention was like to find the truth, like what is true, like who are you? And that was always my search as a younger in my journey and in my walk. It's just really interesting though, because like with where I have a couple comments of just life stuff, but I was working here in Cleveland, and my drives, like Okay, since I've been married, I haven't had a lot of alone time. I get very little alone time. I go to work, I come back, I'm with people, and I have people around me all the time. But when I was in isolation, watching live stream, I felt so connected to the Father. I felt so, like, inspired. I was praying all the time. I was alone all the time. So it's, like, constantly on my mind and in prayer and all that. And then it is, like, for all of you moving here, it's exciting and it's lovely, but you are going to be in a different place and you have to find that new routine, like what you were saying, like having to get into that routine. I had moved to Cleveland and I got a job in Cleveland. I was working 10 minutes from home and I had no time after like marriage and stuff to like separate and like have that alone time with the Father. And I felt it, like that lifeline was gone. And I wanted it so bad. I'm like, why do I feel
establish a new routine?
Right. I'm like, why do I feel so distant and stuff like that? And then Abba moved me to Chattanooga and that time that I get to drive from home to work is the most valuable time to me because that is like my prayer time. That's my quiet time. And so another thing I have to ask you is like, is it the vocalizing with what Miss Angela was saying, because I used to vocalize it when I was alone.
Used to what?
Used to vocalize it like in words when I was alone.
Sure.
And I feel like I do, but it's an intense, a more intense emotion when it's vocal. It's a different type of prayer.
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah. So it's not like an all the time vocal prayer needed, but like sometimes it is. But also, okay, so. I'm sorry, there's like three or four different thoughts and I'm trying to figure out which one was first. yeah, so it's not always has to be vocal, but sometimes it's needed. And well, I used to like do praise music on the way to work, but I decided like I needed to have more quiet time. And then so I stopped. Is there a difference between praise and prayer? Because, like, a lot of it's, like, if you don't have anything to say, you're like, well, okay, so I'll just go right to praise. Because, like, I'll be thankful. Thank you.
That's a form of prayer.
Okay, yeah. So it's the same. Okay.
And, by the way, music, you know, music can really lift our spirits and get us in a prayerful state of mind. We have an extreme example in King Saul. When he got in one of his crazy moods, David played the harp, and that music had a soothing effect to calm them down. So we have to appreciate our music and our songs. And sometimes there's nothing wrong with singing. You're home alone and you just feel joyful and you might recall the lyrics to some of the songs that we sing and you just sing them out loud. A cappella, that's a form of praise and prayer.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, it was just such beautiful because with the ability that, like, when you are focusing and intentional about what you're doing, it changes your life.
Absolutely.
And it's just like, I don't know, it has been difficult being in a job where Christmas is everything and all the music and all that. But if I didn't have a 20-minute drive to work and a 20-minute drive home to be able to connect again and, like, be able to have that word and just, you know, Father, give me strength and let me be the light and all these things that I can say and then go into just a whirlwind of just the busyness, then I don't know. And it really does. It really helps. And I'm just really thankful that you're teaching this and that we're all receiving it and that we can do it together. So thank you.
Well, these holidays coming up can really grate on our nerves and they can be very distracting and they can even be depressing. So prayers are our bulwark. So, you know, I mean, there's nothing we can do to avoid this upcoming Christmas nonsense. It's there. It's everywhere. It permeates every part of our society. And we go into a store and we hear Christmas music. It just drums into our mind. So the antidote for that is more prayer. Okay, Michaela, go ahead.
I wanted to ask about when you're talking about meditation and listening to Yahweh's voice, Sometimes it can be distracting inside of my mind to kind of like stop all the planning or just thinking and all the other thoughts that come in. What would I do to kind of minimize that so I can actually hear his voice, since it could be small and still?
Just take some time. It's like preparing for Shabbat. Friday afternoon is a time to, as much as possible, rid our minds of our mundane secular activities and concentrate on the upcoming Sabbath. And how to keep your mind from wandering with distractions. I mean, it's habit. That's all I can say. Think about it and pray about it and tell Yahweh this is a weakness that you have. And I think we've all been there. We all have distractions when we're praying. Sometimes thoughts will enter our mind about a bill that we forgot to pay or whatever it may be, you know, or something that happened at work that wasn't good, and we have to, we think about that, and maybe our thoughts can distract us. And there's no surefire cure except consistency and practice. Kavanah, intention. What are your intentions when you pray? So that's about all I can tell. I hope that answer helps you. Miss Jennifer.
So I've got a question. I'm kind of a recovering charismatic.
Okay.
So coming into this walk, there's some things I had to kind of stop doing completely for a little bit until I kind of got my mind and my heart in a different place. Like praise or worship, I had to kind of stop listening to anything for a little bit because I was just all messed up.
Yeah, you had baggage. Your baggage.
So much connected with it, yeah. And so when I prayed before, I always prayed in tongues. Like, that was the first thing. Yeah, I've listened to your teaching on tongues, which helped me make the decision and have an understanding about it not being good. But I think because of kind of that undoing, it makes me question myself a little bit. So, like, I do pray, like, I'll pray out loud in my car,
okay,
which is really helpful. And sometimes, you know, in moments, I may pray internally. But I think that I struggle with, like, when you talk about the meditation and, like, well, one, I struggle with the meditation just being quiet at all, which I'm sure is normal. Silence is hard for me. But that part is hard. But then also, like, it's like I was trained being in, like, charismatic circles of, like, you're listening for certain things, you're looking for signs, you're trying to see visions, there's all this stuff. So, like, listening for the voice of Yahweh, I think there's still, like, a little bit of a fear that it's just me, because I think there was decisions that I made based on things before as a charismatic that were, like, based on that voice that I thought was Yahweh that wasn't Yahweh. So I want to know.
We can be deluded sometimes.
Yeah, so I'm curious if you have, like, some advice on how to kind of test that voice. I mean, obviously we want to make sure that it aligns with the Torah, but
The key. There's a line with Torah.
That's
one of the keys.
Yeah.
But you also said that you had some old habits. And what it shows is that we have to retrain ourselves. Nobody can retrain us, but we have to retrain ourselves. You can look back on your past life and see where you were in error about a lot of things. And yet, some of the baggage that you brought is still hindering you, you know. And you have to recognize that the baggage is there. I think in one of these teachings, Rabbi Steve brought up AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And the first thing you have to do is say, I'm an alcoholic. It's beyond my control. I am a, and even if people who have quit drinking for 20 and 30 years, if they go to an AA meeting, they say, I am an alcoholic. I haven't had a drink for 20 or 30 years, but I'm still an alcoholic. That weakness is there. And we've got to guard against it. So I don't know if that helps you or not, but.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. So I guess my follow-up would be, are there other suggestions on how to guard against it? Like, just, do you think that maybe...
Guard against
what? Like, guard against, or kind of guard our mind, or know that, you know, be sure that it's Yahweh's voice. Do you think journaling might help?
Oh, it could. Whatever helps you. You know, if you want to journal, sure. You're not the only person that does that. Right? There are a couple of people who do that, journaling. Anything that helps you, that's, of course, in harmony with Torah, that's fine.
Okay.
But, again, it's a matter of discipline, and sometimes we have to force ourselves, and that's part of growth. And it's like the little chick breaking out of the egg. He has a real struggle. And but if he doesn't go through that struggle, he's a dead duck or whatever. You know, he's dead. He won't live long. So we have struggles make us tough. So give Yahweh thanks for your struggles and determine to overcome. That's what being an overcomer is. We have to be an overcomer. Miss Marlene, up again. Shalom.
Hey. So I was listening to what Jen was saying, and I'm also recovering charismatic.
Okay.
And
don't go spastic.
And I really did struggle with not speaking in tongues. I had a long conversation with Elder about it and how to like stop doing that, you know. And I did watch her teaching multiple times and. So I'm definitely better at that. But I appreciate you talking about the weakness and acknowledging that, because that has really helped me with my discipline, you know, because I think sometimes in the, you know, past church life or whatever, I think there's, like, it's like a feeling of, almost invincibility or something. Oh, and it doesn't complete, it's not really rational, but me acknowledging my weakness helps me not go close to the thing. You know, like, for instance, if I was a recovering alcoholic, I would not go in the bar,
right.
You know, because right. I know that I'm weak in that area, so don't even go that direction, you know. And so kind of the fence thing, you know, I kind of put around myself on certain things. But I was wondering with the whole hearing Yahweh's voice, if one thing we could do, and one thing that I've been doing, I believe, is run it by, like, leadership. You know, like, when we think that Yahweh is saying something to us, maybe just talk to one of you all and just be like, hey, you know, this is what I think.
Well, Yahweh works through. People he's appointed.
Yeah. Hurt. What I think he's saying to me, what do you think about that, you know? Mm. And I know for me, a lot of times when I've thought I've heard Yahweh's voice, you know, since I've been here, it's really been me. Like Rabbi Steve says all the time, it's you, Hasatan, or, you know, the Father. And a lot of times I believe I thought it was the Father. And Rabbi Steve also says, well, look in hindsight, see how it plays out, you know. But sometimes when I've delayed on, when I kind of just sat, when I thought, you know, y'all was telling me to do this or whatever, and then I kind of just sat on it and just kept being prayerful and kind of examined my heart with the motives and everything, then I started seeing that it was really, like, selfish in there, you know. So then I realized that, oh, that doesn't line up, you know. It's some selfish, you know, ideas or motivations or whatever. So I really appreciate having you all every day around me.
Well, we appreciate you too, Miss Marlene. You're a number one receptionist.
Thank you, thank you. But, I mean, I get to talk to you and pick your brain about stuff. And Elder Billy, we talk all the time about stuff. So, and it helps me also get over my fear of talking to Rabbi Steve, you know. Because Rabbi Steve can be intimidating, you know. And when people say they're afraid to talk to Rabbi Steve, I was like, yeah, I know, you know. Because he's gonna shoot straight. You know, and we a lot of times don't want to hear it. And so we don't even want to go because we're afraid of what he's going to say.
We anticipate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been afraid to talk to Rabbi Steve or anyone in leadership. But so I know some people are. Mm-hmm. And some people said that, oh, I'm scared to death to talk to him. Mm-hmm. You know, what you're really scared of is what you might hear.
And I appreciate having to overcome that all the time. Yeah. I'm practicing overcoming that. So I'm getting better and better, you know. And, you know, I'm just so thankful to be around you all so much that I can have so many conversations about what I'm thinking, you know, and get clarification.
Amen.
You know, and sometimes even when I think I'm hearing the Father say something, there'll be a teaching that comes up or you all will say something in one of the teachings that will answer the question, you know, exactly the question that I thought I heard the answer to. So, and I also realize I need to do that meditation. I need to do that quiet time. And it is hard for me to sit still and not think. And one thing, that I found recently that was useful was when my mind starts to wander, to write it down. Like write down whatever the distraction is so that it's out of my mind and I can go back to being quiet. So, thank you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
I've got a blessing from even everybody getting up here, so it's been wonderful.
And by the way, a lot of people have problems with this tongues thing. And as Rabbi said, I've said in one of my teachings, the miracle is not speaking in some whole bunch of languages. The miracle is in the hearing. When we go back to Acts chapter 2, and when the Talmudim were speaking to Jews from 16 different nations, different languages, they were speaking in Aramaic. They didn't speak in any other language. But they were heard in whatever language the hearer was familiar with. So if that would happen today and there was someone here from Russia and someone from Germany and someone from whatever country, Romania or whatever country it is, they would hear in their language. But we're speaking here in English. So they would hear English in Romanian or Russian or German or Azerbaijani or whatever the language is. So there's a lot of and by the way, somebody, speaking of groanings and utterances, there's tongues of men and angels. And I see that as a very simple explanation. Tongues of angels is more refined speech. Tongues of men is just, you know, if I say, hey, what you going to do tonight? That's common part. You understood what I just said. But a more refined way was, I could say, excuse me, but what are you going to do tonight? I could elucidate each word. That's all tongues of men and angels is, more refined speech. It's nothing, I think, supernatural or out of the ordinary. So go ahead, Michelle.
Thank you for a second chance. My heart is very much with anyone who's come out of Charismania.
Mm-hmm. Charismania, that's a good term.
But I thank Yahweh. This marks my 11 years at Beth Shalom.
Hallelujah.
Coming out of that.
Baruch Hashem.
And it takes a while. It takes a while. But one of the things that's really helped me is to understand what it really is what it really is, the visions, the prophecies, the tongues, the manifestations, the so-called miracles, we need to feel that we're in control.
Yeah.
We need to feel that we can know what's going to happen in the future. We can understand what's going on with this one or that one. Mm-hmm. I used to stand in front of crowds, word of knowledge, you've got this and you've got that, and they all confirmed it, you know, and stuff would happen. But getting cut off from that, I had to realize this is a matrix. It's a completely false construction.
Yeah, exactly.
And to
take
get
the right color pill.
Yeah. To overcome, I hope this is helpful to somebody, but to overcome, I had to accept I'm not in reality.
Right.
I'm not in reality. And when I'd be tempted, very tempted, to lapse into tongues, it's a way to kind of get rid of my own logic and connect with whatever's out there in the spirit realm and hear things that'll help me be in control. Yeah. And coming to Beth Shalom and understanding, number one, there's a hierarchy here. There's an authority structure here. And those authorities are telling me that, yeah, you can be messianic, but you've got a whole lot more stuff to drop than just Sunday worship.
Yeah, I am.
And working and working and working with that and listening and listening. And just that submission has helped me so much, just to say, I don't need to know. All I need to know is the moment I'm in. I don't need to know when I'm going to die or where I'm going to travel or what, because the steps of the righteous one are ordered by
Amen.
Yahweh.
Amen.
How many here, you know, you just go about your business and loving him, and you just all of a sudden you discover I'm right in the middle of something he's doing. I didn't have to plan it. I didn't have to control it. I didn't have to prophesy it. And I think that's a real key, is if we can search our hearts and find out, where do I need to be in control? Where am I scared if I lose control of what goes on in my life? Praise Abba.
Amen. Bye. Okay, if there's no more, I guess it's time for the live stream.
Okay, from Gemma says, my question is, when I was listening, I heard you say the Father always hears prayers. The scripture about him closing his ears to a harsh husband came to mind. Please, can you help me understand? It's in reference to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7.
All right, let me turn in there, 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, in the same way, husbands live understandingly together, giving respect to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the favor of life, so that your prayers are not hindered. It doesn't say that they're not heard. It says they're not hindered. A lot of things can hinder our prayers. See, we're the biggest hindrance to our prayers. And so in this case, if the husband isn't treating the wife exactly the way he should, even though he prays, his prayers can be hindered. We can do a lot of things to hinder our prayers. I hope that answers the question. Please.
Okay, from Jeff and Leanne Benson, Rabbi Tom, I used to be an ardent Christian who prayed constantly. Since the bubble popped, I felt this disconnect with prayer because of how emotional everything was as a Christian praying. Any advice on how to overcome this?
Again, from what I get from what you just wrote there, is you're going by feelings. See? Sometime when people leave the faith and they go off into something that's a Torah violation, they say that they're praying more than they ever did. And so maybe we were praying more when we were when we were in Christianity or whatever we were in. But we weren't praying the right prayer, because you said how emotional everything was. We're not supposed to look for emotion. That's looking for feelings. So this is where bitakon comes in, competence. When I pray, or you pray, anyone prays, we have to pray with competence that Almighty Yahweh will hear our prayer and will respond perfectly. But if we're looking for some emotional gratification, then we're looking for the wrong thing. So I hope that helps you. Bitakon, confidence. What else do we have?
Okay, from Angela Kennedy. So Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi Tom, and thank you for this teaching. If we are in constant communication with the Father throughout the day, is it still necessary to set specific times of the day to pray?
Again, this is habit. It does say pray without ceasing. But I'm a firm believer, and I think Rabbi Steve and Elder Jackson will back me up on this. We have to have specific times throughout the day that are just for prayer. And I said they don't have to be long. If it's 5 minutes, that's time. But throughout the day, if it's 10 or 15 minutes, that's fine. But having specific times for prayer is reinforcing the habit. And when you miss one of those times, you should get an empty feeling. Oh, I missed time for prayer. So yeah, no matter what you're doing, you should have specific times when you, it's just like Ashley said, that she could pray best when she's canning. Well, that's fine. But I don't think anyone cans all day long. So she would have to sit down and say, I'm just going to shut off all distractions and talk to the Father for several minutes. So yes, I would believe it's necessary. It's not a Torah violation if you don't, but I think it behooves you to set specific times of the day to pray.
Okay, from Manuel Perez Gonzalez. Thank you, Rabbi Tom, for today's teaching. Is it okay to pray for our siblings who are not following MTY, and how much prayer should we do for them and their hardships?
Well, anytime somebody, especially a family member, is in a hardship, yeah, you want to pray for them. But to pray that Yahweh will cause someone's bubble to be popped, that's a common prayer. But Rabbi Steve hit the nail on the head when he said, pray that Yahweh will keep them safe from harm and so that they will be in the millennial reign. We can't expect all of our family members to have their bubble pop just because ours is. We can't expect our sons and daughters to have their bubble pop, even though they may have been raised keeping Sabbath. But now they're off on a journey of their own somewhere. They don't know from Sabbath anymore. So we should pray for our family members, our siblings, cousins, uncles, aunts, parents, grandparents, whatever we have, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We pray and pray for our neighbors too and close associates. But pray the right prayer. No man can come to the Father. No man come to me except the Father draw him, Yeshua said. And so we could pray that the Father will draw people, but if he does or doesn't, that's up to him. But they're not lost because they will be in the millennial reign. There's some people out in this country right now, today, who are doing some very bad things. But I believe that they will be in the millennial reign and they'll have a chance to see the error of their way and rectify it and come to Torah. And if they do, if they accept that, if they take advantage of that opportunity and they bring themselves under covenant, and they'll go into the kingdom. If not, they're going for a very short swim in the lake of fire. It's over. Okay?
Michael Hubbard, Rabbi in John 11, verse 42, Yeshua said the Father always hears him, but he prayed out loud for to prove to see Yahweh sent him. Question, is it required to pray out loud?
It's not required, but I say it helps. It gets you in the right frame of mind and the right attitude. So, yeah, you know, when Rabbi Steve is up here, he prays out loud. When we have people come up for to give thanks for the prayers and praises that are up here, that are brought forth up here, or to give a closing prayer, a prayer for the children, that's praying out loud. So, but otherwise, in your private prayer, audible praying is not required. There's nothing in Torah that says it, but it's just a downright good idea. And I think you're missing something if you don't do it. But it's not a Torah command to pray out loud. It's just something that can help us. And why wouldn't you want all the help you can get?
Okay. One right now, Rabbi, I just wanted to pass on. Mary Wallen wanted me to pass on that, you know, about you were talking about prayers, you know, and how they're heard. That Greg is actually going to get out of the hospital within the hour.
Oh, good, good. We'll continue to pray for Greg, and we want to pray for Michelle Perez too. There's so many people who need our prayers, not only people here in Beth Shalom, but people in MTOI that have situations and problems and ailments that we're not aware of, that we should just pray for them on a regular basis. But we're glad to hear that good news about that Greg's getting out of the hospital. What's next?
Okay, that's all I really have online. Just one for me, Rabbi, is, you know, Elder Jackson always talks about when people come to counsel or they need advice, he's always saying, you know, did you pray first? Did you pray first? And then Rabbi Steve has always mentioned, you know, when people come just in conversation, like, you know, for having Oneg or something, you know, and they're just not feeling well or they just needed prayer, you know, and his is always is, just do it then. If somebody's asked for prayer, just say, pray with them at the time. Is there a time when that's not appropriate, or is that just, you know, a good advice to just do it? When somebody's asking, just do it.
Yeah. Oftentimes on the internet, on Facebook or something like that, someone will post that they have a certain problem. And there are some people say, prayers. And I have to wonder, do they really pray for this person or do they just write the word prayers? You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of us when we see someone has a certain problem that we do pray for them. But I think just to say, yeah, well, I'll pray for you and go your own way and forget about it is all too common. So we can't afford to make that error.
That's all we have right now, Rabbi.
That's all? Mm-hmm. Okay.